Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Is this me or am I naked?
Oh, boy. Yep. Mark just dropped that bombshell on us a couple of minutes ago, which led to some awesome texts, as always, from our awesome listeners. Reed in Arvada, is it just me, or is Mark sitting on that bed bench right now as he air dries? That bed bench probably came in handy at that point.
No, I did not use the bed bench. That thing is getting moved. I'm going to move that somewhere in a corner. The other thing, I've got this lamp that hangs down, you know, really artsy-fartsy lamp that hangs. I hit my head on it walking to the bathroom last night.
Jeez, you got banged up last night.
I know. You know, it is sometimes, you know how you wake up and you're not 100% sure where you are?
Yeah.
One of those, stumbling around, looking for the bathroom. Yeah.
Got this one from Rich, and you guys were doing so good. Speaking, actually, somebody had some great advice for navigating your way around this hotel room over the weekend in the dark. Uh-huh. And they said that you need to draw off of your offensive line skills. All right? So here's what somebody said. I like this. Mark, what you need to do, you need to keep your head on a swivel, know your surroundings, execute your footwork. Mark, you should be pulling out and around the bed bench, working your way up to that next level that is the bathroom light.
Right. Yeah. So here's the thing. Here's the thing, Mike. Because I don't like slide into bed. I just kind of flop into bed. I don't know about you, but there's something special just about flopping into bed.
Uh-huh.
It just is like, you know, I'm just like a big dumb animal, right? I just boom, flop into the bed. So I get out last night. I hit my head on the lamp. Then I trip over the bench a little bit, catch myself because I'm an exceptionally skilled athlete.
Yes. Agile.
Agile. So then I go into the bathroom and I use the facilities and I'm thinking the whole way out, don't forget about that bench. That thing will get you.
Right?
But so then I get done doing my business. Uh-huh. I'll come back out of the bathroom. I shut the bathroom because I leave the little tiny light on in there. So I shut the door. I tripped over the bench again on my way. I'd already forgotten about it.
You are just, you have no spatial awareness. Cecil Lammy would tell you, you have no spatial awareness.
But it's just the overall forgetfulness. Like you deal with me every day. One minute I'm talking about something, the next minute I'm like, what were we talking about again? What are we talking about? That's what happens to me. So I tripped on the bench on the way into the bathroom. I went to the bathroom, and I tripped on the bench on the way back out of the bathroom.
Well, as this astute texter points out, is it just me, or based on the number of times Mark seems to be getting up in the middle of the night, bumping into stools doesn't sound like his biggest problem.
Oh, I got up one time.
Was your prostate the size of a walnut or something?
I peed one time.
Oh, just once? Just once.
I peed once. I hit my head on the lamp, and I tripped over the bench twice.
Well, if there's ever an incentive to hold it until you wake up in the morning, there it is. Okay, yeah. Time now for our keys to the game. Sports, presented by Nova Home Loans. Okay, Mark, coming off the huge win over the Cowboys, what's the keys to victory for another Broncos win, their third in a row?
Well, I really think it comes down to this defense shutting down the quarterback aspect of the running game. The Eagles run the ball fairly well, but their quarterback is a big factor in that. And if that guy gets rolling off the run game and off the play action stuff that comes off that run game, those things can be chunk yardage, chunk plays, like third down conversions that really hurt you. Because they're not your normal, it's not your normal third down package that you face. So there's a different kind of volume of plays that you have to defend when the quarterback becomes a runner. You saw it last night to perfection as Miami blitzed. I mean, they just basically said, we're going to play straight man on the back end. We're going to give you a taste of your own medicine. We're going zero, and we're going to punch you in the mouth. And they brought 6-7 dudes and just said, let's roll, and absolutely destroyed. I mean, they just destroyed Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. So when it comes to the quarterback runs, those things can be dramatic, especially if you're playing man. That guy escapes, he escapes it, and the next thing you know, you're getting 30-yard chunks. So that, to me, is a really huge key. And then on the flip side of that, for the Broncos, stick to the formula. Stick to what you did last week. Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon need to be the focal point of your offense, both running the ball, catching the ball. Make sure you adhere to that balance. What do we talk about? 50 is the key number. Attempts plus completions. If you can have rushing attempts plus completions equal 50 plus, you've got something going on, something good going on. So make sure you adhere to the formula.
Love those numbers. That is a great, great formula. So again, rushing attempts plus pass completions over 50.
Correct.
I like it. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. Those were our keys to the game presented by Nova Home Loans. We are having some fun. As some more people said, Mark, maybe instead you should sashay into bed. Or you could mosey into bed. Remember we had this conversation the other day? I love it when listeners take stuff from other conversations and bring them back a few days later. It shows you're paying attention, people.
Right.
I love it.
I just flop into bed. I just like whoop right down. And it's not it drives my wife crazy too, because my wife is like, I almost bounce her out of bed. But I'm just getting in there. Like, I'm excited to get into bed. I like being in bed.
Finally, this one from Tucson Tim. Is it just me, or when Mark started talking about his stool, you automatically thought of something else? I'll admit that. That's a good call, Tucson Tim. It is not just you. When you started talking about a stool last night, I went, oh, God. Where is this going?
You know, instead,
it was a stool chair at the end of a footstool.
Footstool.
Yeah.
I need to put the foot in front of the stool
just to differentiate. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's my fault.
You know what?
I'm going to take full responsibility on that one. That's my fault. That is my fault.
Oh, look at you. Such a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming up, more Is It Just Me's next. Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Okay, on this Is It Just Me Friday.
I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better voice.
This is from Matthew in Castle Rock. Is it just me, or should Mark record a Christmas album and sing all the songs of the season in his best German Dutch voice? That would be hilarious.
I don't know about that.
A little silent night.
What if Professor Zeus sang the Christmas classic?
Boom. Professor Zeus sings the classics.
All right.
How would...
Silent Night.
Yeah.
Silent Night. Holy Night. All is calm. All is bright.
Yeah.
Then you would throw in things like, round yon virgin, it reminds me of Medusa. You know, tender.
We have officially reached.
Professor Zeus sings, you know what, there's no sense in trying to get it back on the tracks. It's Friday.
All right, let's try this one.
I'm in my old stomping ground.
You're back.
I'm in my old stomping ground.
I mean, let's see, you spent the first, what, how many years did you guys spend in D.C.?
Six years of my career, but 8 years we lived here, because the first 2 years I played for the Broncos, I I kept my home here. So okay. we came back here in the off season.
So think about that. And an Alaska kid, an Idaho kid going to the big city. That had to be quite an adjustment, huh?
Yeah. You know, what's funny is, you know, that you are naive about things, right? And things that you don't know about you, your perception, what things really are, or what you think things are compared to what they really are. So when I first came to D.C., I landed in Dulles, and they brought me here for they brought me out for a physical before the draft. They flew me out to D.C. for a physical, and so I'm coming out here. I land in Dulles, and if you know Virginia in the springtime and the it's like a jungle, you know. I mean, the greenery and the trees and everything, and so they fly me out here. And it's so funny because all my life I've been asked, being that I grew up in Alaska, you know, things like, did you live in an igloo? you know, did you mush dogs? You know, that kind of thing, right? And because people don't, that's, you know, you see something on TV and you think, wow, that's, you know, what Alaska's like, right? And I thought the whole East Coast, Mike, and I kid you not, growing up in Alaska, I thought the whole East Coast looked like New York City. Up and down the East Coast is just nothing but like
nothing but cities.
City.
Yeah.
Right. And I land in you know, Northern Virginia at Washington Dulles, and I'm like, really? Like, this is, I'm on the East Coast? This is beautiful. Like, I had no idea.
I can get used to this place.
I'm like, this place is gorgeous. Like, this is great. Anyhow, so yeah, they flew me in, and you know, I had to go down and see a doctor, take a physical, and you know, jump around in the office or whatever to see if my knee was capable of playing in the NFL. So anyhow, that was it's the only physical I ever passed, by the way.
Stunning. Here's one. Is it just me, or after one fluke of a game, everyone has forgotten how bad Teddy and this offense have been over the last five games, to the point where you guys are calling him a top 15 QB? Oh, he did bring up his numbers the other day, and his numbers in many of the key categories are within the top 15 and top 10, and in the case of completion percentage, top two.
Right. Well, this is why it's funny. The same texters that want to spit stats in your eyes about stuff that they have no clue about, right? When you spit stats back in their eyes, then they want to use the eyeball test. So when I tell people, I just go by the eyeballs, what the eyeballs tell me, how a guy's playing, you know, what he's doing. And you're like, that doesn't, you know, let me throw some stats, some advanced metrics in your face, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then you go back with exactly the what they try to throw in your, it's not true, he's not playing well, he's awful, right? Because that's just the way it is. Teddy's playing good football. Is he, like, the eyeball test tells me he's not a top 10 quarterback or a top 15 quarterback. But there is a way that Teddy can be very efficient, and that has to do with, like I say all the time, protection really, to me, like protecting your quarterback, those things, a lot of those things have to do with how you call plays. By the way, Mike, and I totally forgot this until just now. It popped into my head, and you know what's rattling around in there. There's a lot of loose change up there.
Look,
so,
squirrel.
Yeah, exactly. So somebody had reached out to me. So I flew Denver to Chicago, jumped on a different flight, Chicago to Washington National.
Egad, Mark Reagan. Schlereth did a layover?
Right.
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
There was no direct flight into Washington. I could have flown directly into Dulles, which I probably should have done. But anyhow, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just not about me. I'm like, who am I kidding? Of course it's about me. So, anyhow, somebody said that D-Mac was on the drive last night bashing me for saying that Justin Fields was awful in that game that I broke down in the Chicago-Tampa game.
Right.
He was awful.
Right.
And so D-Mac somebody was like, you've got to get after D-Mac. He was absolutely, you know, destroying you on the drive.
Well, go ahead. You want to wait?
I don't know what he said.
Do we know what time that was? D-Mac, you're up listening right now. You're bouncing a basketball somewhere,
right?
You know, swimming or something. What time did you say this nonsense? Let us know. And then we'll replay it. And then Mark will eviscerate you. Time now for your injury report presented by Spine One. Garrett Bowles expected to miss Sunday's game with an ankle. Same with Pat Surtain as he's dealing with that knee injury. Your injury report presented by Spine One, your one-stop shop for neck, back, and joint pain. Four down territories coming up next. What is the bigger story? Cam Newton back to the Panthers or OBJ to the Rams? That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is four down territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal foul, 69. Offense. He's giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Tastes so good.
Ready, Brad. First down.
I don't know. I stay away from comparisons. It's just been a safer way for me to approach things. You know, I think everybody is so different. It's really easy to compare guys, but, you know, he does what we ask him to do. He blocks physically. He's got great collision balance and as far as breaking tackles. He's caught the ball, you know, and he does the things behind the scenes that tell you the reason why we drafted him. And I think he's got a bright future.
Hey, congratulations to Javonte Williams, who was named the AFC Rookie Player of the Week. Good for him. Well-deserved. Not the AFC. Named the NFL Rookie of the Week. Sorry. My bad, Javonte. We want to bring both conferences into play on that one. So, boy, you hear nothing but great things. Vic Fangio was raving about him the other day. You hear Pat Shurmur right there. I guess the only question is moving forward over the remaining, seven games of the season, is do you just continue to give him more because he deserves it, or do you keep things the way they are, the balance, the breakdown between him and Melvin Gordon? Gordon hasn't done anything wrong either.
No, they've both been good. It's been a good balance, and if you stick to that 50 formula, you know, attempts, rushing attempts plus completions, you're probably going to need both of them. So anyhow, I mean, I think the balance is good. It's kind of a 1-2 punch. They run a little bit differently, but I think it's been a really good balance. So I don't see why you go away from it.
I love that number, by the way. I'm gonna steal that. Okay,
it's fine. I stole it from somewhere. I don't know.
Rushing attempts plus completions. If you can get over 50, that's usually a sure sign of victory. I like it.
Yeah.
That along with winning the turnover battle. Historically, those are maybe two of the big keys. All right, next in four down territory.
Second down.
That's the nature of the beast. I mean, you know, it's a road Thursday night game. It's hard to go on the road Thursday night, but we've done it before and we've been successful. We just played poorly, and it's because of our coaching. It starts with me, and I didn't do a good job getting these guys ready.
Vic?
Yeah.
I want to take a little note-taking right there. There was John Harbaugh, who mentioned that it was his fault and his coaching staff's fault for a poor performance. It really was very un-Baltimore-like. 22-10, they lose at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a handle? I mean, you just did the Ravens, and they had to huff and puff just to beat Minnesota in overtime last week. Two of the last 3 weeks, they've gotten blown out by the Bengals and beaten pretty handily by the Dolphins. So where are the Ravens in your AFC hierarchy?
They're still a good football team. Like, they're not running the ball like they've run the ball in the past. You know, they lost all their starting running backs. So they went out, you know, on the street. They got Devontae Freeman. They went out and got Le'Veon Bell. They're just not the same. They're not, like, they're relying on, their running game is relying on 7-step drops and then Lamar go take off and scramble for 10 yards. The rest of it, the mesh points with the running backs haven't been great. The blocking on the edge has not been dominant. They need to get Nick Boyle back. I thought he was going to play last night. He didn't. There are some key missing components, but yeah, that running game is not as devastating as it's been in the past, and therefore, you know, they just don't have the same sync. They're not synced up, and therefore, they're not as hard to defend. I think that's all I can explain it. That's the only way I can look at it.
Next in four down territory.
third down.
Third down and goal, the 1 yard line. Man hurts, wiggle motion. Newton fakes and throws end zone. Caught Olsen, touchdown at the top of the SN Eagles.
Panthers radio, a Cam Newton highlight when he was with the Panthers. And what do you know? He's back with the Panthers. Cam Newton signing a deal with Carolina that could pay him a lot of money, actually, if he ends up playing and playing well. I think it's a foregone conclusion that he will play quickly. But in your estimation, will he play well?
That's a great question, Mike. I'm excited for him to have the opportunity.
You think he's done?
Yeah, I mean, I know everybody has this desire for him to, you know, be the MVP again, but the MVP stuff was really about his athleticism and how hard he was to defend. I just don't think he's that guy anymore. He's had shoulder injuries, had a toe injuries. I just don't think he's the same athlete that he was back then, and that's where his that's where he was so hard to defend. He was a nightmare to defend. It wasn't that he was a great or a super skilled quarterback. He was an unbelievable athlete.
Since his MVP season, which culminated by Von Miller wrecking his career, he's never been the same since that Super Bowl, by the way. That's just fact. Since that Super Bowl, Cam Newton has thrown 73 touchdowns and 54 interceptions. Not anywhere near the kind of ratio, and barely completing 60% of his passes, barely throwing for over 3,000 yards since 2015, since that Super Bowl. So what matters most is your ability to pass the football, and he has been a very ordinary passer, culminating and bottoming out last year with the Patriots, 15 games, 8 touchdowns, 10 picks, 15 games. He threw for 2,600 yards. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of what kind of impact will guys make, next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
You know, he's excited about getting the opportunity to come in and try and win. That's what he wants to do. I mean, if that's what he wants to do, then shoot, that's what we're all about. So I got no problems. I'm excited about it. And I don't know when he's supposed to get here or whatever, but he'll be out here. I'll be throwing around to him at some point. So,
Matthew Stafford, if OBJ wants to win, if OBJ is ready to come in and accept a lesser role. The reaction that I've seen since the announcement that OBJ chose the Rams has been almost universally panned, because nobody believes that this is a guy that is going to gratefully accept being the third option in L.A., which is what he's going to be behind Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. And that for a guy who always talked about the need to get more targets, he turns down a bunch of places that he could have gone to where he might have even stepped in and been the number one guy, instead going to L.A. to play a complimentary role. Do you see this working out?
I think for him to get back to where he wants to be, he's got to be on his best behavior. I will tell you this. I played with Eric Yarbrough, who's the wide receiver coach out there, does a tremendous job. That might be the least selfish wide receiver room in the National Football League. And they're going to hold him to that standard. So, yeah, I could see it working out for what's left. 10 games, 9 games, whatever it is, 9 games, 8.6 games. The halfway thing is still, I know we hit the halfway mark, but I don't know what's left. How many games are left?
Actually, what a surprise. We botched math. I had them winning or playing 7 games left. There is 8 left.
Eight.
This 17-game schedule is wreaking havoc with me.
It is.
Wreaking havoc.
And we just got to go. Here's the way to think about it, though, Mike. Think about this. It's a 17-game schedule over 18 weeks.
How's that supposed to help me?
18 weeks, half of 18 is 9.
Yeah.
Boom. Mind blown.
How much does a gallon weigh?
What weighs more, a gallon of fat or a gallon of muscle?
By the way, just when you maybe get 17 figured out, oh, this is just a mere hop, skip, and a jump to 18. So we're going to be at 18 before you know it. So
maybe that's
good. So that's good. We'll at least get back to an even number again. Because this 17 is just causing me a lot of angst.
18 over 19 weeks.
18 over 19, which, again, makes perfect sense. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. It's an Is It Just Me Friday. And it'll be Mark's last segment before he has to head off to start his preparations for calling Tampa and Wolft this week. And he needs to get all moisturized and hair looking good for his Zoom call with Tom Brady. So you can understand why that's taking a little extra time. But we'll do one more segment with Mark. Nate Jackson going to take over for you coming up at 8. We'll get to our Bronco picks and more coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Prediction? Yes, prediction.
Detroit, it stinks! Hey, woman!
Denver Broncos Pick of the Week is presented by King Soopers, the official grocery sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Okay, Mark, the theme of the week has been, can the Broncos handle prosperity? Can the Broncos still remember, as Teddy Bridgewater said earlier this week, the dark place they were in just a couple of weeks ago? Can they be, in the words of Vic Fangio, obsessed, addicted to winning? Addicted. Yes.
Addicted.
Addicted. Can they be addicted to winning? All right. How do they handle it? You confident they will?
Yeah, you know what? Am I confident? No. But do I think they will? Yes, I do think they will. I think there's a couple of things. I do think that they'll have a lot of confidence after that Dallas game. And no matter what Dallas says and how much they whine, that doesn't take away the fact that the Broncos came out there and opened a can. I mean, they just flat opened a can. And they dominated the line of scrimmage. They on both sides of the football. So to me, like, when you can do those things, you can win that, you can have that kind of formula where we dominate the line of scrimmage and we win, you know, the battle of the trenches, we're going to be a good team. It's going to open up our play action stuff. It's going to open up all the stuff that we need to do and play efficiently from the quarterback position. So I believe that they'll adhere to the formula, Mike. I believe they'll win a game. And I'm going to say, like, 24-17 Broncos. The Eagles will always play you close. So 24-17.
Anybody who claims to be able to predict how the Broncos are going to come out this Sunday, you don't know. You don't know.
Right.
There is nothing about this team and their track record to be able to predict that they will either come out ready to go or even predict if they'll come out flat. You just don't know. At this point, I have no idea. I don't. And so because of that, I'm going to pick the Broncos to win barely, 17-16.
Whoa.
And you said 24. And you said 24-17.
24-17, yes.
Broncos.
Yeah,
Broncos. I don't know. I'd love to think that this team has learned some painful lessons this year and understands that what they have to do and how they have to coach. I'm just not talking about the players either, in order to get a win. But I don't trust them. They've done nothing over the last 5 years to earn my trust, so I don't trust them. I think they'll find a way to win, but this notion that they're home free and they've figured everything out and they're about ready to roll now, I can't say that. Nobody can. So I'll give them the win, but I am skeptical.
As you should be. It's exactly what you should. By the way, you know, remember how last week I was going to Baltimore and I told you that the facility looks like Hogwarts?
Yes. Yeah.
And I took pictures and I forgot to share them with you, but I'm walking through the halls of the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, they have murals just like, the Broncos have murals and things that have happened over the course of their time and, and their Hall of Fame players, Jonathan Ogden and, you know, the busts are Jonathan Ogden up there and Ray Lewis and, And then I'm walking through the hallway, Mike, and I took pictures specifically for you that I forgot to share with you.
I know. I was a little disappointed.
I'm sorry, but I am. And I just realized the infamous 2012 playoff game picture, the mural, I took a picture of it. Of, what was it, Jacoby Jones and the misplayed the misplayed pass that ended up costing them that game.
The ball floating over the fingertips of Raheem Moore.
Yep. I've got the mirror. Do you want me to send it to you?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to send these pictures to you.
So when you were walking through the facility that looked like Hogwarts, did you ever have to, like, resist the impulse?
Expecto Patronum.
Did you ever, like, do that as you walked along the hallways?
No. Yes, exactly. I was like, wow, this place is pretty cool.
You know what's not cool?
What's that?
D-Mac taking shots at you because
he
you had the audacity to call out one of his can't-miss, they-all-hit first-round quarterbacks that you have to draft no matter what. And so when I heard that he took some shots at you, I figured, all right, I'm going to trust that my man put in the time, looked at the film, did his studying,
right,
maybe talked to some people, and came out with a detailed analysis of why Justin Fields is a can't-miss quarterback prospect. And so let's hear that.
Yeah, in that game, Mark, in that game, a month ago, in a game the whole team played poorly. I mean, it is like, what game? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th game ever in the NFL.
That's
it, huh? Okay. So how in the world, seriously, would any young quarterback ever develop in the NFL if Mark is passing judgment on a guy like Justin Fields after 7 games? It doesn't seem fair.
Wait a minute. Whoa. First of all, I hear no analysis there. Secondly, let me just see if I can figure this out. So we're not supposed to pass negative judgment on Justin Fields for one bad game, but after he has one decent game against the Steelers, we're supposed to accept the fact that, oh, Broncos blew it. Broncos missed their guy. This guy is clearly the guy. He's going to be a superstar after just one game. So what is it, D-Mac? We just don't pay attention to the bad games, but we only pay attention to the good ones?
Hey,
which is probably why we didn't hear anything about
Coach,
Josh Allen.
Did Josh Allen?
I guess we should just be happy that he actually called him Justin Fields and didn't call him Josh Allen.
Well,
Coach, Josh Allen... Oh, I'm sorry.
listen, I know that it's hard. I understand that it's hard. I'm not, you know, my whole thing is watching him. He's an exceptional athlete. He is, at this point, I don't think he's a good quarterback. And he's young. I get it. I mean, it's a tough transition. It's hard. Playing the NFL is hard. I understand that. I totally get it. I'm just telling you and my whole analysis on that. So he had a great game against Pittsburgh, 17 of 29, 58% completion percentage, one TD, one interception. So yeah, sounds like it took 3 sacks. What I told you about.
But he ran around and made plays. He made something out of nothing.
Yeah. I'm telling you, he is going to end up on IR if he doesn't start to understand when he's protected, when he's not protected. There's just a lot more to it. There's a lot more to being a good quarterback than running around and making plays, D-Mac. That's all.
I could take D-Mac's quarterback ramblings more seriously if it all just didn't boil down to take one, anyone, it doesn't matter. So like last night, Tua Tagovailoa, once again, even in victory, proved he's not the guy in Miami. Okay, that was a miss. And somebody on Twitter said, well, D-Mac would have drafted him. And D-Mac's reaction on Twitter was, well, did you need a quarterback? So that's why I can't take whatever he says seriously, because it's literally take a quarterback, any quarterback, fill in the blank, as long as he's a quarterback, because the perception is you need one. So
Coach, did Josh Allen... Oh, I'm sorry.
So it doesn't matter.
Right.
And I understand why he's always constantly thinking about Josh Allen, because despite that being the third or fourth guy that he actually wanted in that draft... It's shaping up as that's the only guy out of the first 4 taken that are going to amount to anything. So I understand the obsession.
Right.
With Josh Allen. Hey, before you get out of here, let's welcome in our pal, Sean Drotar, who was working the Avalanche post-game show with Sandy Clough last night. Hey, Sean, good morning. And I can't help but think, I don't know if the Avalanche actually talked about this, but boy, you can't help but notice, can you? The theme of the week was continued. First started by the Broncos, then by the Nuggets. Hey, you lose a key guy or you trade a key guy and other people step up. First game without Nathan MacKinnon. For the next 3 weeks, the Avalanche did just that.
Yeah, 7-1, their season high in goals. Obviously, this was a blowout from the get-go. 3-0, only 11 minutes into the game. And a good balanced set of scoring, guys. 7 goals, 7 different goal scorers. 2 of those were power play goals. 1 of them was a shorthanded goal. They pretty much scored in every way possible. The news almost entirely good. Bowen Byram got hit with an elbow up high, and the first period did not come back for the rest of the game. Hopefully that is not particularly serious. But for the rest of the Avs, getting a little healthier. Valeri Nichushkin came back. His first game back, gets a goal. An impressive performance all around for the Avs. Darcy Kuemper was good. He gave up 1 goal, but that was actually on a turnover by his own guys right at that blue line. Wasn't much Kuemper could do about it. Otherwise, he was sharp, despite facing not a lot of shots. And that can actually be tough for a goalie to have only infrequent shots and stay warm. So really all systems go, but at the same time, let's not get overexcited about it, guys. It just got them back to 500.
Yeah, and, you know, moving forward, obviously you got to be, but you do have to be excited about the just the level of different guys that contributed to this victory. That's got to be something that you kind of hang your hat on, and it almost becomes an expectation, does it not?
It does, and Stink, these guys have been looking for second-line scoring consistently for a while. Now, JT Compher has been elevated to that top line with MacKinnon, in MacKinnon's place with Rantanen and Landeskog. And last night, all 3 of them scored a goal. So good sign there. But it is that second line right now that looks like it's going to be, you know, Tyson Jost and maybe Alex Newhook and Logan O'Connor. O'Connor with a goal and the first star of the night. If they can get some sort of jump together, some sort of energy, and provide some secondary scoring so it's not just that top line, all of a sudden that makes the whole team better because there is scoring on the defensive side. Sam Girard had 2 assists, looked a lot better. We know what Cale Makar can do when he gets back. Devontae's had a goal. So there's a lot of opportunity there for the Avs to get cooking. This finally seemed, despite the fact no Makar, you don't have MacKinnon in this one at all, and you end up losing Bowen Byram, who's been as good as anybody you've had, and this team goes out there and looks as good as they had all year. Makar also, by the way, with 2 assists on the night. Those 2 guys led the point totals along with Mikko Rantanen, who had the 1 goal and the 2 assists.
All right, the Avalanche are right back at it. One of the rare stretches here in November where they only play 10 games that they actually have a little bit of flow to the season as they'll turn around and play at home tomorrow night against San Jose. And, of course, make sure you tune in immediately following the final horn for our Avalanche postgame show, which we do along with the Nuggets after every home and a road, every weekday, every weekend game. We do it throughout the course of the season. Sean, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, fellas.
All right, there he is, Sean Drotar. All right, Mark, you're about ready to go.
Yes, I am.
Are you ready to talk to Tommy?
Well, Tommy is tomorrow. Today, I'm going up to the Wooft. So I'm going to talk to the likes of Tyler Heinicke and Terry McLaurin. And who else? Am I there? Chase Young, you know, Ron Rivera, Scott Turner. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a really good day.
Going to be back in your old is it a brand new building
from, no it's
the same building,
same facility that we moved into when I played here in 92. I'm sure there have been some upgrades since then, but I'm kind of looking forward. I haven't been back at that facility since 1994, when I had a meeting with Norv Turner and he told me I couldn't play anymore.
So this is your first visit back, huh?
Yeah, so he told me that we don't want you and we don't think you can play anymore.
Speaking of photos on the walls, you got to do it. If you come across any photos that include you, big fella, you got to send it out.
I'm sure there is not any photo. Did you get the photos I sent you?
Let me check here. Yes, I did.
Okay. You see the Raheem Moore one?
Oh, God.
But look,
that can't be a real photo. Is that a real photo or is that like a painting?
No, it's a painting. It's a painting.
Because
it's like a mural.
In the painting, Raheem Moore's fingertips are oh so close to deflecting the ball. If it really was that close, I'm even sicker than I was that night.
Right. Yeah, no. Dude, you're right.
It does look like Hogwarts.
Right? Look at that facility. Is that crazy?
Oh, my goodness.
Anyhow.
Expecto parento. All right, man.
All right.
By the way, do me one favor. Please promise me that when you go in to meet with the Wooft, you call him Taylor Heineke, not Tyler like you just did.
Oh, yeah, Taylor. I know. Yeah. It's Taylor. Yeah. I mean,
that might get things off to a uncomfortable start if you're like, hey, right. Tyler, Mark Schlereth, hey. Friends call me Stink. How you doing?
Yeah. I just call him Heineke.
Okay. It's Dude. Taylor Heineke.
Taylor. I know. I've screwed that up. So in the broadcast, I just he's a guy that I struggle with his name, so I just call him Heineke.
H-Man.
Come to think of it, I'll have a Heineke.
All right, see you later, Mark. Later. This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.